You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
With America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome aboard for this final program of this month of February. It should be March 1st, except it's not. It's February the 29th, so God only knows what could happen today. Leap year days are strange animals. But I have a feeling we'll get through 3 hours of scintillating conversation radio in the next 3 hours. Funny how that works. So stick around. Coming up, our conversation with Make Them Accountables. MakeThemAccountable.com's Carolyn Kay. I believe she's dialing in now, even as we speak. Our weekly conversation that I've come to enjoy very, very much. Sort of a roundup of the week's events. As we say here, cussing and discussing. It's something I really do enjoy. So sit back, relax. It's Friday night. If you're home from work, get a cold, refreshing something or another. And if you're not home from work on the West Coast yet, then, well, you know, not till you get home. And if it's already Saturday, like it is for John Fox, well, what have you been waiting for? On the line with us now, from MakeThemAccountable.com, Carolyn Kay. Caro.
Hey.
I'm so glad you could join us.
Yes, well, I'm glad, too.
We're back on track now. This is two Fridays in a row, so that makes me feel much better.
Yes. It needs to be a habit.
Are you still freezing up there? You covered up in snow? I know.
Well, actually, it has gotten warmer, just a little bit warmer. It snowed again last night. We've had more snow this year than in all of the 15, 16 years we've been up here. We have not had this much snow, and we have not had this much cold weather, really cold weather, like 10, 2, minus 3.
No, yeah, the don't leave the brass monkeys out weather, sure.
You know, I moved up here from Louisiana.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was born and raised in Louisiana, lived most of my life there until I moved up here. And then when I first saw one of the temperature things outside of a business, it had a plus on it.
Yeah, who knew?
So I said, wait a minute. If it can be plus, it can also be minus.
Well, precisely. I had a dear friend.
Where'd that go?
Had a dear friend once here who lived in the mountains, and he said he was so sick of cold weather that his plan for finding out when he had moved far south enough was that he was going to get a snowmobile and put it on a trailer behind his truck and start driving south, and he'd know he was home when he got somewhere that they looked at and said, "What's that?"
He'd be in the right place.
But coming from St. Charles, it was St. Charles, wasn't it?
Lake Charles. Louisiana.
Coming from Lake Charles.
Right there on I-10.
You probably didn't even see snow, did you?
It had snowed maybe 3 or 4 times in my whole life.
So when you first got up there, it was, "Oh, look, it's snowing, how charming." That got old real quick, didn't it?
I never was that much like that, but Walt, my guy, he loves it. He thinks snow is so wonderful, so pretty, and all of that, and I look out the window at it, and I say, "Uh-huh," and he says, don't you want to go for a walk? I say, "Uh-uh."
No, that's why it's frozen. That's God's way of telling us to stay the heck inside.
Look at it from the window. It's so pretty.
Exactly. Well, it's been a busy week in the press. It's been a busy week in the weird little world of politics.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start this evening? Anything particularly setting you on fire?
Well, just that. Let's see. Many things that have gone on in terms of the media finally starting to attack Obama, or at least the right-wing media finally are getting in gear on the kinds of things that they're going to try to throw at him, because until now, I think Hillary Clinton in a lot of people's minds was the presumptive candidate. And so they really weren't bothering with him very much. But I have to say, you know, it's been like a steamroller. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, you know, I'm above, I'm the top, I'm better, I'm this, I'm that. It is, you know, poor Hillary can barely get a word in edgewise. And, a lot of people seem to like that. They seem to think, "Oh, yeah, that's great. That's the guy I'm going with, the guy everybody else is going with. That's what I'm doing."
Well, did you see the bit that Samantha Bee did on The Daily Show? from deep inside the Paula Jones Hillary Clinton Media Center,
the Paula Jones Media Center, the anti Hillary war room.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
And we've had a couple of things. There was a satire piece from The Onion that we ran during Guy James's show yesterday. Some of the satire is approaching truth.
Yes.
And I guess that's why it's funny, because you sit there and you go, yeah. But, well, Samantha Bee had that line, "No, she's not paranoid. We really are out to get her."
Right. And, of course, they are. I mean, when you read things like, there was a letter to the editor, let me see if I can find it, on in the New York Times recently.
Oh, the one about Maureen Dowd's column?
Yeah, where the letter writer described the words that were used, yeah. Ms. Dowd says Hillary Rodham Clinton is lame for accusing journalists of treating her campaign differently from Barack Obama's, and applauds the open-mindedness of the press in its treatment of Senator Clinton. Here are the words she uses in association with Senator Clinton: desperate, primal scream, clanging, churlish, discombobulated, gloomy, flipping, begrudging, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, for Senator Obama, golden child, sunny, consistency, bedazzling, confidence, excitement.
See, that's one of the things.
There's no difference between the way they're treated.
Well, Maureen Dowd, as Bart Kopp has noted on a number of occasions, is the dragon lady. And he notes she hates everybody. But she especially hates Hillary Clinton. And Al Gore. She hated him real good, too.
She hated Al Gore. She liked George Bush for a while, if you'll remember.
Sometimes I think there's a little bit of something that, if it was happening on the stock market, on Wall Street, Caro, we would call insider trading. Because Maureen Dowd, I believe, knew full well that she would have a lot more fodder for her poison pen with 8 years of George Bush than she ever would have with 8 years of Al Gore.
Well, I think they were all like that. I really do. I really think they thought, "Oh, boy, this guy's a real moron."
I mean, for instance, the Flush Flimball munches up a handful of OxyContin every night and falls on his knees and begs God to please, please let a Democrat win the White House, so he'll be comfortable, just doing his hate job. Because as he noted after the 2006 congressional elections, he was sick and tired, my friends, of carrying water for Republicans who don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if there's not a little bit of that at work here. Because, I mean, what are the Republicans going to do, Kara? They've got an industry,
well,
a full cottage industry, 16 years old, that they built solely for the purpose of destroying Hillary Clinton, and it looks like there's a strong chance that she'll be out of the running before they get to really fire the thing up and get it banging on all eight.
Well, here's what I think is going on, because, you know, every time that we have ever seen situations where the polls say one thing and then suddenly there's this surge of voters doing something that goes against what the polls said. Like, first of all, take Iowa. The poll said Clinton was going to win. Then there's all this stuff going on, all this crazy stuff going on with the caucuses, and Obama wins, okay? Then Obama is projected to win New Hampshire. And then this sudden surge of older white women who love Hillary come along and, you know, and get in there, and Hillary gets the nomination. I mean, gets the nod for New Hampshire. And then all of this stuff of more and more caucuses where, you know, strange things are going. The only times in my lifetime that I've ever seen strangeness like that is when Karl Rove has been involved in an election. Okay.
And yeah, I don't think he's just sitting back and resting on his laurels, do you?
Now, let me tell you why. Now, you can tell me that I'm ready for Tin Hat territory. Go right ahead, because I'm still going to think this. Karl Rove has got to keep his butt out of jail.
Yes, he does.
He's got to keep George W. Bush's butt out of jail.
That was part and parcel of the media shutdown in Alabama last Sunday night.
You bet. And I am convinced that they think Obama is easier to beat. And that's why they haven't had, all the attacks on Hillary and not so much on Obama. Now, a lot of the natives apparently are getting restless and you know, wanting to attack Obama. So now they're finally starting to do it. You know, the World Nut Daily now has an article every day. And they do this, you know, progressives out there who think you voted for Obama or are going to vote for Obama because all of the discord is going to go away in this country, please.
I may vote for Obama in West Virginia's primary in May, but it won't be because I think the Republicans will play nicey with him.
Exactly.
I'm not under that illusion, not even a tiny bit.
If you think he's the better candidate, go right ahead, but don't do it because you think the right wing can't touch him. Remember how everybody was so tired of all the Clinton divisiveness by the time Al Gore decided to run for president in 1999, and they said, oh, thank God, this guy's a Boy Scout. There's nothing they can do to him. They can't touch him.
No, they...
So what did they do? They made a serial liar out of Mr. Boy Scout. Then
and just as they made a craven coward out of a proven hero in John Kerry.
Exactly. They always go after the person's strongest point, okay? So, now here they are with, you know, facing the possible nomination of Barack Obama. And, you know, I'm sure that a lot of people think, well, they'd never dare go after his color. They wouldn't dare do that.
Oh, yes, they will. And they'll go after made-up crap, too.
Made-up crap.
I don't know if you noticed, but they put the Republican National Committee put out a press release yesterday that said, we repudiate the constant use
please.
Of Barack Hussein Obama's middle name. We respect Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama is a fine man, and we won't be calling Barack Hussein Obama Barack Hussein Obama anymore, because that's a slur on Barack Hussein Obama, because there's nothing wrong with the name Hussein for a middle name for Barack Hussein Obama.
And we didn't mean it.
But you know what that is? You know what that is, Carol? That is a barometer. That is the Republican National Committee acknowledging, sort of by indirect fire, that the blood libel and the religion slander against Obama has gotten full traction now among its knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing faithful.
And people, and again, if people think that they won't have an impact, they are so wrong. I have been saying it for 8 years now. And one of my notes recently was people were saying, Hillary Clinton this, Hillary Clinton that. I said, the fault, dear Democrats, is not in our candidates. The fault is in our refusal to recognize who our real enemy is, and that is the right wing. They will make a vicious terrorist out of anybody.
And they've made fools out of the so-called hard left too, because the hard left picked up their talking points on Hillary and ran with them like exactly. A fish with its hook with a hook
I
in its mouth.
I can't tell you how sad that makes me, because
look, I've got people, Caro. I've got people who listen to this program who cannot type the letters H I L L A R Y. This is a progressive radio network. This is a liberal radio network, and I got people who type H I T L E R Y, and it drives me just crazy.
Yes, it does me too. And we're talking people who have been friends of mine for a very long time now, internet friends, you know. Some of the people that fought with me in the trenches in 2000, before these big blogs came along, when Marcus was, you know, still being given a bottle, when, you know, I mean, not quite that long before, but
weren't exactly dry behind the ears. Yeah, I get it.
Long before any of the blogs came along, we were in the trenches on the message boards of 2000, and we were battling the Bush bots. And they did, the way they pushed and shoved and refused to engage in any kind of discussion really reminds me a lot of many of the Obama supporters that I've seen on Democratic Underground, on Daily Coast, and some of the other progressive websites, and in my email. I'm speechless.
And see, that was the next question I was going to put to you, Caro. When are we going to realize that the enemy is John McCain, and that the person to be attacked is John McCain, and that the person to be stopped is John McCain?
When the Obama supporters have gotten their way. In fact, that's what I asked one of them after he sent some particularly nasty something or other. You know, I said, well, when does the unity part start? And he says, when you come in line. I said, well, golly, that's not my idea of democracy.
No, and this is, well...
And that was Bush's kind of bipartisanship, too, if you'll remember.
You mean you're either with me or...
Your opponent.
Yeah.
It just... I'm very sad to see this in my party and in...
And this is not you and me coming from some Pollyanna place, Caro. We're both grown-ups here. We understand that it's a bare-knuckled business. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm not one of those people who says that one side is blameless and the other is not. The squabble. Let's see, what is today's squabble? Today's squabble is that Hillary put out an ad saying, "You want to know, or it matters who answers the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning." And Obama came out and said, yeah, 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 what matters is getting it right when the call comes at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the battling Bickersons, here we are. It's what we, you know, either this thing ends in a couple of weeks or we have to just hunker down and realize that a brokered convention means a McCain presidency.
I don't know that a brokered convention means that, and I don't know that this kind of that battling for a nomination is bad for a party. I don't know that I think that.
Oh, I don't either. I don't favor coronations. If I was into coronations during the primary process, I'd be a rapig licking.
and if you wanted to march in lock good step with everybody else in your party, yeah, you'd be a Republican, yeah. But I don't quibble with the kinds of things where I'm more experienced, I have better judgment, which is really questionable. But anyway, that kind of going back and forth. But there are a lot of folks very, very concerned that some of the really nasty stuff that has come out about the Clintons, if not from Karl Rove, then from this Chicago-oriented, political campaign going on here, and politics ain't beanbag in Chicago, okay? And that kind of stuff,
the thing that just drove me crazy and really astonished me was the hyper willingness, not just the willingness, Carol, but the hyper willingness of the so-called professional media to run off, and a whole bunch of bloggers too, to run off and take as gospel the not even directly stated premise that Drudge put forward, that it was the Clinton campaign that put out that started circulating the picture of Obama in the Somali garb.
Now, bear in mind that Drudge never said it came from
the. Right, that's what I'm saying. He didn't even say it directly.
But immediately, Buzzflash of all people, and Mark Carlin of Buzzflash has been he's one of the people that I fought in the trenches with, and yet they are just so ready to jump on Clinton for anything.
But as Bart Kopp has noted, Caro, there's big money to be had in it.
And that's as sad as it may be, that may be what's going on.
I don't know where it comes from, but there is
an unpopular route apparently.
Well, I'm taking the route of look at the issues, examine the facts, and vote for the person you think will do the best job, A, as President of the United States of America, and, or not even A and B, but sort of parallel lines, who can be a great president and fight back against the SOBs. Pardon?
You are ready for your tin hat then.
Yeah, because I supported my preferred candidates as long as my preferred candidates were allowed to remain in the race.
Yeah, there was that too. My original favorite was Edwards.
I started.
I love everything that Dennis Kucinich says. I love everything the man says. And if anybody were ever to consider taking him seriously, I would I would have thrown my support to him, but.
Well, the fact that he was not allowed traction, and it's not a matter of couldn't get, not allowed, okay? I mean, let's just look at how the media treated him.
Pretty much the same thing happened to Edwards, because that was...
But you see, the same thing is now happening to Hillary.
And then, of the two candidates remaining, Clinton and Obama, they're both pro-corporate. They're both, too ready to support the military-industrial complex. Much as Obama likes to paint himself as the anti-war candidate, he's not really anti-war. His voting record on war matters is the same as Clinton's ever since he's been in the Senate. So, and then as far as his position on the Iraq authorization, he's made very conflicting statements about that, what he would have done and so on. So,
well, let's, if you don't mind, let's take a couple of minutes here, Caro. I want you to hear, if you haven't already, and we played it, like I said, yesterday when I was filling in for Guy James. I don't know if everybody here has heard it or not, but this is a parody piece from The Onion.
Okay.
And it's precious. And I think you'll find it telling.
Moving on. If you planned on following the presidential election in November, you might want to plug your ears. A big election spoiler is coming up. A minor software glitch at the Diebold Corporation today caused thousands of electronic voting machines to accidentally release the results of the 2008 presidential election months ahead of schedule. According to the group of military and corporate leaders that has chosen every American president since Eisenhower, Diebold's mistake marks the first time the nation's leader has been revealed prematurely.
I don't even know if I can enjoy the sham election now that I know who's going to win.
If you can't trust your shadowy overlords to keep it secret,